Good evening, friends, and welcome once again to another edition of Answer the Call. My name is Brother James, and I am sitting in once again this evening for Pastor McMiller. I'm honored to be here tonight with all of you who have set this as a time apart to listen to and study God's love letter to mankind, the Holy Bible. Now, if you have your Bibles handy, and I pray you do, join with me tonight once again in the book of James, where we will be continuing our ongoing study, picking up where we last left off in James chapter 2, where tonight we will be examining the last 13 verses in a study I have entitled, Walk Your Talk. Now, beginning in James chapter 2, verse 14, as it is written, What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works? For when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now there can arise some confusion amongst new believers in the interpretation of these verses when it comes to justification by faith alone, as is often the focus in other books contained within our New Testament, or by faith and works, as James here seemingly decrees. The truth is neither ideal is mutually exclusive in nature. Rather, simply put, one is justified to God by faith alone, lest any should boast of their deeds, and that works of faith are used as a means and sign amongst believers to minister to encourage, and to hopefully grow the family of God. So we might understand tonight that while we are justified to God by faith alone, our faith is to be made manifest to others by our works, that we might make manifest the mercy and love God did shew unto us, and indeed all mankind, through the practice and application of our spiritual gifts, talents, and abilities. We are given here two examples in our scripture tonight, and the first, of course, is Abraham. Look back with me once again in James chapter 2, picking up in verse 21 through 24. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. As we continue on, we see the second example given of Rahab the harlot, whose salvation was obtained under a pledge and marked by a scarlet thread, both echoing the original Passover in Egypt and foreshadowing in a way the future Passover sacrifice of our Lord and perfect Savior. We read continuing on in verses 25 and 26. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. The two examples given we see here are two individuals who put their whole trust, their whole faith in God, even in extreme circumstance. They did not waver. Abraham with the willingness to offer his only son back in Genesis chapter 22, and Rahab who trusted not in the safety of city walls nor soldiers for her life, rather, she trusted upon the pledge of the Israelites and the Lord, knowing that none can stand against him, and through trusting God was delivered, a wonderful showing of God's deliverance back in Joshua chapter 2. And friends, God continues to deliver. And often it is through those works we are called to produce. And while it should be every member of the body of Christ's desire to produce work, we must also understand our preacher's special obligation as shepherds to their congregations. You know, my preacher often refers to himself as a fruit inspector when it comes to ministering to those within our body. As he evaluates those who show faithfulness and devotion, he observes how he might minister and serve them that might need more time to ripen, an extra portion of spiritual nourishment, or some unproductive growth culled. Often you will hear from our pulpit messages that seek to encourage our body to live our faith. And friends, the growth I have seen in my brothers and sisters over the years has been nothing less than inspiring. We have an excitement about us, and it's my hope that your church does too. If not, perhaps consider why not, and perhaps consider what must be done to help inspire it. We all have our share to do in service to our King. I'm reminded of the parable our Lord spoke over in Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9, where it is written, "He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it be alone this year, also till I shall dig about it, and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." Your preacher acts as the dresser of that vineyard within your church, and at times may find it necessary to aerate or realign ministries, or even transplant one member from one field or position to another. Be not discouraged if your pastor should take interest in you in this way. If you're not currently serving in ministry, be not discouraged if he asks you first to display your walk rather than just talk your talk. And if he should desire that you transition or transfer to some other role, embrace such an opportunity to labor in fields that your pastor believes you might bear a greater harvest or a greater fruit. Never forget, those who would desire to serve the Lord desire a good thing, so long as they remember that no servant is above his master, and that God has set your pastor at the front of the church to lead and instruct the bodies of believers in growth and in service. As we wind down tonight, I'm reminded of yet another parable our Lord did speak in relation to this subject. Join with me, if you would, over in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. The parable begins here with the kingdom of heaven being likened to a man who, before departing upon a journey, called to him his servants, and who gave he 1 5 talents, 1 2, and 1 a single talent. After a long journey, he returned, and picking up in verse 19, we read, "After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is my hope, friends, in bringing all these things to remembrance, that we might all desire to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," that we might not bury our talents and gifts. Rather, we would use them to glorify our Lord and God. And as we consider the day in which we live, now as much as ever, if not more, we need men and women who are willing to step forward and work in partnership with our Lord, to not only have faith, but to be willing to demonstrate our faith through those things called works. As Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Friends, at my home church, Heritage Baptist, we are in the habit of embracing a motto at the beginning of the year to help remind us of our shared vision for that coming year. And this year, our pastor presented us with the motto of making it matter. It is my hope that tonight, you too might decide to embrace this motto for yourselves daily in your walk. Amen. Well, what about it, friends? Tonight, are you willing to step forward by faith? Are you willing to bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance? Will you make it matter in this coming year by not only talking the talk, but walking the walk? Are you, beloved, willing to answer the call?